Amen. Thank you, Emily. Keep playing like that. You know, the way Heather pounds those keys when she plays the piano, I'd always been worried she'd never find a husband. I mean, you know, wham, wham. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Oswald Chambers was a man of God who lived in the very early, late 1800s, early 1900s. During World War I, he volunteered for the service and became a chaplain under the, actually worked with Salvation Army. But he became a chaplain setting up Christian ministries, first in British military camps in Egypt, and then later on actually setting up ministries within the prisoner of war camps there in Egypt. And in as the war came to an end, Oswald Chambers was asked by a friend, "What are you going to do now that the war is over?" And his answer was very simple yet very profound. He said, "I'm going to trust God and do the next thing." Trust God and do the next thing. I've been thinking a lot about discipleship lately. Not so much the kind of discipleship we talk about at BCM, you know, all the discipleship Bible studies, you know what I'm talking about? Everybody at BCM seems to be having quite a few discipleship Bible studies, and that's really great. But we need to recognize if we're going to have discipleship Bible studies teaching young Christians how to be disciples, what do we need to be? We need to be disciples. So the term discipleship ought to apply to us just as well as it applies to anybody else. I could talk about Dr. Rick's discipleship, my following and learning from Christ. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus speaking, he said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Father, I pray that you'd be in a special way with Brother Buda tonight and restore his body to full health. Lord, we look forward to seeing him in church again soon. Bless the ministry tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll have to thank Brother Buda when he gets back for giving me the opportunity to preach. We're only going to be here for a few more opportunities to be in services here at Maquonago, so I really appreciate this opportunity. In Luke chapter 9, and verse 23, Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." I want you to think about that verse with regard to the subject of discipleship, my discipleship, your discipleship, and Oswald Chambers' statement, trust God and do the next thing. And we see as Jesus speaks here that discipleship begins with a decision. It begins with a decision to follow Christ. God does not force anyone to follow him. Matthew 9 and verse 14, Jesus said to those first disciples, he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He didn't rope them, he didn't grab them, he didn't take a club and beat them and chase them to follow him. He simply said, "Follow me." You know, we can follow a lot of things in our lives. This world is full of things that want us to follow them. But following Christ is a great definition of discipleship. I mean, if we're really following Christ, and that begins with a decision, we must choose to follow Christ. We must choose. That's the next thing. I'm assuming today everyone's saved. That may not be true. If you're not saved, you can listen anyway. But if you're saved, then the next thing after salvation is to make that decision to be a disciple. To make that decision to follow Jesus Christ. One of the thrills that I've had over the last few months being here at Maquonago Baptist Church is watching the young men and the young ladies in our church. It has just thrilled my heart to see young men, some Raines men, some Roberts young men, and I won't mention some of these other guys, but I've grown to love them. Just watching the way they serve the Lord. It's like whatever has to be done, they'll do it. And they do it joyfully. They do it happily. It's very obvious that these young men have made decisions that they are going to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are going to follow Christ. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Friends, everybody is a disciple of someone or something. Every one of you. You need to choose to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you choose not to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you need to ask yourself, whose disciple am I? Am I Rush Limbaugh's disciple? Am I some other, Barack Obama's disciple? I hope not. Or obviously, there are many in this world who are Satan's disciples and they don't realize it. But you're going to follow somebody. You're going to be a disciple of somebody. You're going to learn from somebody. You're going to imitate somebody in your life. How much better for it to be the Lord Jesus Christ that you follow than anyone else? In life, in this Christian life, everything really ultimately comes down to a decision. I mean, we face decisions all the time, and we have to make those decisions. So the decisions that we make to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, those are the decisions that will mold our life and mold our character. I got saved back in February 1978. I've probably told this story a million times. Forgive me. You get my age. I forget what stories I've told. But, Pastor, you remember in April, Leonard Saunders came for that meeting, and first night of the revival meetings, he preached to Christians out of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Brother Saunders says, if you're saved today, you need to give your life completely to Jesus Christ. And I made the decision that Sunday night to do just that. I gave my life to Christ. Now, as I walk that aisle, up here I'm thinking, well, I'm going to be a good church member. Maybe someday I could even teach Sunday school class. I mean, that's how far I could think ahead. I was only thinking about the next thing. I wasn't thinking about the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And as we prayed, Leonard put his arm around me and he prayed to the Lord. We had our heads bowed, eyes closed, and he's praying. He said, "Lord, take Rick's life, even if it might be used preaching the gospel somewhere around the world." I opened my eyes and looked at him. He's got his head bowed. He's praying. I mean, the guy's serious. And I'm thinking in my mind, no, that's not what I meant. No. But you see, I did mean, God, whatever you want me to do. And what was I to do after that day? After that night when I gave my life to Christ? Trust God and do the next thing. And eventually trust God and do the next thing. And eventually God said, go to Bible college. I had to make a decision. Trust God and do the next thing. Somewhere along the line, God said, go to Singapore. I had to make a decision. Trust God and do the next thing. Went to Singapore with no intention of ever being a missionary. God broke my heart for missions while I was on the field of Singapore. I had to make a decision. Trust God and do the next thing. And God subsequently led Sue and I together and led us to the country of Kenya. But it started with what? It started with a decision. If any man will come after me, Jesus says. If any man will make that choice. But then Jesus went on to say, let him deny himself. Once you make that choice, Once you make that decision to be a follower, to follow Christ, what must you do? Trust God and do the next thing. And here the next thing Jesus says is deny yourself. There needs to be that self-surrender. When I got saved, I was a businessman. I made decisions every day of my life involving hundreds, if not thousands of people and millions of dollars. I got saved and began to serve the Lord. I had to learn that I was no longer in control. I had a unique situation when I was working there at Inland Steel. I had a boss directly over me who couldn't make a decision to save his life. I'm sure his wife told him what pair of shoes to put on in the morning and what tie to put on. I mean, the guy could not make a decision. And I was the kind of guy who relished in making decisions. And so I actually took over the department. He was still the head of the department, but I ran it because he would not make a decision and I would. There were times I feel guilty about it now. I'm sure he's gone to his reward, whatever it may be now. But if I ever met him again, I'd have to apologize. There was days I'd go into his office and his secretary would be there and I would ask if I could go in and see him. She said, yeah, but don't. And she knew what I was going to do. I'd walk in and sit down in his office and I'd say, you're not looking very good today. Are you feeling okay? And I knew within 5 minutes he's gone. He's gone home. He's sick. And then I could do what I needed to do, you see? Well, that was the kind of guy I was. And now all of a sudden I'm saved and I've got the Lord Jesus Christ telling me what to do. I've got the Lord Jesus Christ telling my pastor what I should do. I've got the Lord Jesus Christ telling teachers in Bible college what I have to do. Went to Singapore, I had the Lord Jesus Christ telling the pastor I work with there what I'm supposed to do. I had to surrender self. I had to be willing to deny myself. Now, many people today would say you're a fool if you do that. I mean, the world today would think you a fool if you said, I'm going to control my life based upon what God teaches me through the Bible. I mean, let's face it, your friends think you're a fool for being here tonight. What fool would waste a good Wednesday night in church? But don't worry about what they say. Think about what Christ has to say. We need to just give up self and let God start running our life. Deny self. And many people who think about doing that would say, oh, I couldn't live that kind of a life. What if God asked me to do such and such and such? What if God asked me to go and become a missionary in Kenya where they have cobras that get in the house every once in a while? I couldn't do that. Ask my wife if she could do that. She does now, but she couldn't do that when we got married. I couldn't do that when I got married. Thought of moving to a place where poisonous snakes come into house, where you hear gunshots at night, where, you know. And people will use that as an excuse, say, I could not do that. The fact is, if you trust God and do the next thing, you can do that. God will give you the wherewithal to do that. The first time pastor asked me to preach, down at the house, in the living room, I was scared stiff. I mean, I don't know if you knew it, but I was absolutely scared stiff, shaking like a leaf when I walk up there to preach. And I don't understand why. In industry, I'd spoken at conferences of thousands of people. Had been a chairman of several different conferences. Very comfortable speaking in front of large groups, but somehow preaching the gospel, preaching the truth of the Bible just scared me to death. And yet God has given me the wherewithal to do it. Listen, if you have not yet committed yourself completely to serve Jesus Christ, let me tell you, giving up yourself, sacrificing self, does not mean giving up anything. It means gaining everything. I mentioned Rush Limbaugh earlier. I like to listen to Rush. I think he's pretty pompous. He's pretty, thinks pretty highly of himself. He has some good things to say. I think he's a little crude sometime. But he does say one thing that I really appreciate. You know, those of you who've listened to him, and you all have, you know you have. He says, having more fun than a human being should be allowed to have. You've heard him say that, right? You've heard him? You're all pretending you never listened to Rush. Every time I hear him say, having more fun than a human being should be allowed to have, I laugh. And I say, Rush, you don't know the half of it. I'm having so much fun in my life. People have asked me, relatives have asked me, why do you have to go back to Kenya? I say, I'm having so much fun in Kenya. I mean, you know, I can't give it up. These guys I'm going to be seeing on Friday, all my high school buddies, every single one of them is retired and wasting the rest of their lives. And they're all interested in why I'm not retired. And I plan to tell them, hey, you know, if you're having as much fun as I'm having, you wouldn't think about retiring. And when you sacrifice self, it's not what you give up, it's what you gain. You gain the whole world. Jesus says, don't give up your soul to gain the whole world. No, but give your soul to Christ and you will gain the whole world. If any man will come after me, you need to make a decision to follow Christ. Then the next thing, what's the next thing to do? Let him deny himself. A life of self-surrender. Matthew chapter 8, verse 22. Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. You know the story. Jesus was not telling the man that he could not attend his father's funeral. For if the father had already been dead, the funeral would be taking place right then. The man wouldn't be there talking to Jesus. The Jews buried the very day of a death. What the man was saying, Jesus, let me go home and take care of everything. And sometime along the line, when my father died, then I'll follow you. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. Let the unsaved do the things the unsaved can do. You come and you follow me. Matthew 19, verse 21, Jesus talking to the man we call the rich young ruler. Jesus said unto him, if thou would be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Aren't you glad you're not rich? I mean, if we were rich, we'd have to give up a lot. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, sell all you have, follow me. I mean, I'm glad I was never rich. I'm rich in spiritual things. I'm rich in the Lord. But, you know, most of us don't have much to give up when we surrender to Christ. Amen? And if we had a lot to give up, it might be more difficult, like it was for the rich young ruler. He had a lot to give up. What do we have to give up? What do we have to surrender? When it talks about deny yourself, what do we have to surrender of self? We have to surrender our heart. We have to surrender our lives. We have to surrender our will. We have to surrender our future. And yet we're surrendering it to the one who knows more than we can ever know about what's the right thing for our lives. Parents, let your children follow the Lord's leading. Don't worry about your grandchildren ending up in Ethiopia or Kenya or someplace else. You know, the Rainses have grandchildren in Kenya. They're going to have more grandchildren in Kenya pretty soon. Hey, but their loss is my gain. I have a grandfather thing kind of going with all the little Raines kids, and I love it. And the Raineses get to come over and visit them once in a while, and they come home and visit once in a while. Don't stand between your children and serving Christ. So many Christian parents have done that and stopped godly young men and godly young women from giving their lives completely to Christ because mom and dad didn't want to live without. Don't do that. We'll continue on. Time is short. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, do the next thing, make a decision to follow Christ, let him deny himself, do the next thing, and surrender self. And then he says, and take up his cross daily. Do the next thing. It goes from surrendering self to selfless service. Selfless service. Doing whatever Christ wants you to do. With no thought of your own particular abilities, your own particular talents, but trusting Christ to give you those talents and those abilities that are needed. As God has led us, as God has led me through my Christian life, Pastor has asked me to do some strange things. Strange only in the sense that he was asking me to do them. Like, he asked me to do junior church. I had no qualifications. I didn't even particularly like kids. You know, after I got saved, I began to like kids. I fell in love with Heather and Melissa and Jonathan. But before that, you know, I was an old bachelor that didn't care for kids all that much. You know, and then he asked me to teach a teen Sunday school class. What do I know about teens? You know, but what did I know? I knew I had a pastor who knew God. And so when he asked, as far as I know, Pastor, can you remember a time I ever said no? I made a decision long ago. If Pastor asked, it may be a strange thing, and it may be something I'm not comfortable with. It may be something I don't think I can do. But if Pastor asked me to do it, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. Because service is the key step to discipleship. Making a decision to follow Christ is good, and it's important. And then even denying yourself is very important. Getting over that me, me, me mentality. But ultimately, it's the carrying of your cross, taking up your cross daily. And that's talking about service. That's not necessarily talking about suffering. It's talking about doing the thing that needs to get done. Selfless service. It's not what I want, it's what he wants. It's not what you want, it's what Christ wants. That's what counts. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, Jesus passed from thence and saw a man named Matthew sitting at receipt of custom and saith unto him, follow me. And what happened? Immediately Matthew followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 9:10, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners sat down with him and his disciples. Here's what happened. Jesus says to Matthew, follow me. And not only did Matthew follow Jesus, but he invited Jesus home to dinner. He was going to serve the Lord. He was going to do what he could do to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It went immediately from following to denying self to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the example of some of the disciples as well. John 1:43, and then again in 45, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Jesus meets Philip, tells Philip, follow me. Verse 45, what does it say about Philip? Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did speak. What did Philip do? Immediately when he began to follow Christ, what did he do? He began to witness to others. He began to reach out to bring other people to Christ. That's selfless service. That's not worrying about what your friends think, but doing what God wants you to do. Philip immediately began to serve Christ by witnessing to Nathanael. Psalm 100 verse 2, we studied it last week in a senior Bible study. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Friends, service should be the automatic, natural result of following Christ. It should be a natural result of making that decision that I am going to follow Christ. The dad who says with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. His immediate next step, the next thing, ought to be looking for a place where he and his family can serve. Looking for something in the local church that needs doing that his family can do. That's what this is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. Trust God and do the next thing. And then this discipleship. When we make the decision to follow Christ, when we surrender self, when we get involved in selfless service, then Jesus says at the end, and follow me. That will be the results of our following. We will be following the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can follow many things. You can follow your dreams. You can follow your heart. You can follow your friends. You can follow the yellow brick road if you want to. But only following the Lord Jesus Christ will produce a life of joy and an eternal life of perfect joy. I know I've used this illustration before, but it's been years ago. You know the statement, we'll close with this, people talk about, you can have your cake and eat it too. You know, we use that terminology. I'm amazed at how few Americans understand what that really means. You can have your cake and eat it too. Or he wants to have his cake and eat it too. It's like this. If I was to give you a piece of cake, and you got this nice, delicious chocolate cake there, you have to make a choice. Either you can have it, or you can eat it. If you have it, you didn't eat it. Once you eat it, you no longer have it. You see? He wants to have his cake and eat it too. Only in serving Jesus Christ can you have your cake and eat it too. Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. What Jesus is saying is, when you follow me, I will bless your life. But you know, no matter how many blessings we receive here on this earth, we don't use them up. There's always more. And that day we die, that day we close our eyes in death, and open our eyes in a new world, the blessings will continue, multiplied a millionfold. We can have our cake. We can have the joy and blessing of serving Jesus now. We can have it. We can eat it. We still have it. We can eat more. We still have it. We can eat more and we still have it. Only in following Jesus Christ. Trust God and do the next thing. Father, what a privilege to serve you. Lord, it is impossible absolutely impossible for me to convey in words to these dear friends what a tremendous joy, blessing, and honor it is to serve you. Lord, there are some here who are serving you faithfully, and they can understand what I'm talking about. But many cannot. Lord, help them enlighten their minds to understand the potential joy and wonderful blessings that come by trusting God and doing the next thing. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.